Get your Bibles out if you brought them this morning. If not, the scripture will be up on the screen. If you need a handout this morning, I'd love for you to have a handout. And what the handout is, it allows you to follow along. And if you want to fill in the blanks as I give out the points, you can do so. If you need one, just raise your hand, and we'll get one to you this morning. Man, we are so blessed by you being here. And you're always welcome. Those who are here for the first time, you're always welcome to be a part. If you have a church home, we're so blessed by that. And thank you for taking the time to come and be a part of this service that Terry could recognize your student athlete. But if you don't have a church home, we want to invite you to come back and be a part of what God's doing here. And so, everyone got one? We've been talking about living life on full and not living life on empty. I think life, sometimes we can accept and we can get into a mode and we can get into almost a mindset where life was meant to live on empty, that we just struggle all the time. We barely make it across the finish line. That Monday, Friday finally comes and we're like, hallelujah, but Monday's on its way, and that life is just, but I'm here to tell you this morning that the Bible says that Jesus came that we may have life, and we may have it, that life more abundantly. Life's an incredible gift. And life was not, God did not create life and give us that incredible gift to live life on empty, to have that mindset, to have that mentality that, man, it's a drag, and we're just have to, and wait, we can't wait till the sweet by and by, until the chariots swing low, and we hear that roll call up on yonder, and all those things. I'm telling you what, life is incredible. I mean, we're grandparents now for about, 9 months, and we are enjoying that, to watch him crawl, and to learn, and to grow. The other day, it's funny because him and RJ, the dog, are becoming buddies. And RJ's been waiting for him to learn how to walk across the floor like he does, on all fours. And now they can. And so now RJ, I'm not 100% sure that's the dog. He's too interested in that because now he cannot find a place to hang out and be left alone. And the other day, they were both in the same area, and Megan sent us this video. And they're both in the same area. Maybe you've seen this on Facebook, but they're both sitting there kind of like in this little opening into a hallway. And all of a sudden you can tell that Landon just noticed the outlet. That the outlet's right there. And RJ's sitting there with his toy. And he's on his way over there to see RJ first and probably take his toy. But then he looks up and he sees the outlet. And so then he starts to go towards the outlet. And that's when Megan says, no. And RJ turns his head, and Landon turns his head, and they're looking at it like they're both in trouble. And I'm getting ready to tell you that they will be partners in crime. And they will have that look on their face more than once. But life is incredible. And life is a gift that God has given us. And there's struggles in life, and there's difficulties in life. But I tell you what, life was not created by God for us to live life on empty. Where we always feel like No, I'm telling you what, we're created by God to live life on full. And the way we live life on full is by opening our life to the presence of God. God wants to live on the inside of each and every one of us. We've been talking about that, and I'm going to look at some things this morning. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul prayed this prayer over all of us. He said, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, that God would grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, that you would receive strength in your inner being through his Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, I'm telling you this morning, love is such an important thing for us to pursue, the love of God. To know the love of God, the Bible says it surpasses our understanding. That you'd be rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ. Not just read about it, but to know it. To have personal knowledge of how much God loves you. You know, Tammy started playing the piano. Did anybody recognize that song when they were up here? She started on the piano, that song. Well, how's that song go? Jesus loves what? Little children. I mean, we've all heard that God loves us. I mean, somewhere in our life, we've heard that message. But Paul says, I don't want you just to have heard it. I want you to know the love of God. Having heard it and knowing that God loves you are two different things. Experiencing God's love, his unmerited love, meaning that you don't do anything to deserve it. And you can't do anything to disqualify you from receiving it. So many times in life, when it comes to the love of God, we think that we've done something, we've messed up so bad. We've done some incredible things. We've sinned so bad that there's no way God can continue to love us. Well, here's a newsflash. God loved you before you could even become saved. The Bible says he loved us while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. So know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be, here's the line I want you to see, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Number one, and it's a review number, so I filled in the blanks for you. The Father loves us so much that he desires to fill us with his fullness. And what is his fullness? It says the fullness of God. It's him. It's his spirit in our life. He desires that we would be filled with his fullness. Our life gauge, tank, that you know, the fuel gauge in our life, it's not supposed to be over there in the red. It's not supposed to be down there where I'm just barely getting along. No, the Bible says that greater is he that lives in you than he that's in the world. Now, we have struggles. We all have struggles. But God's desire is that your life would be filled with his presence, his fullness. John 14:16, Jesus said this, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Who would that helper be? The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. What an incredible invitation. You know, in Isaiah, I believe it's in Isaiah, it says, God says, what living, what dwelling place, what temple will you build for me? What dwelling place will you build for me? It says, I've created everything that you see. I've created the stars, the moon. The heavens are my throne and the earth is my footstool. What dwelling place, what temple will you create and build for me to live in? It's never been God's desire to live in a building made by man's hands. There's a lot of religions where they will do pilgrimages. They will go from where they live, and they will go on at least one time in their life, go to a place to visit what they call a holy spot. They'll go to visit a temple somewhere. God, the God of love, doesn't desire to live in a building where we have to go visit him. God doesn't desire to live in a building that has been made with man's hands. The Bible says that God wants to live in a temple that he created. And that we are that temple. That God desires to live on the inside of us. So number one, again, the Father loves us so much he desires to fill us with his fullness. Number two, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, it says, therefore by their fruit you will know them. You'll know someone or some person by their fruit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's one of the three of the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son. And we've talked about this. God the Father, we can relate to the Father image. We can relate to the Son image. In fact, there's a lot. If you Google it, and you say, if you Google the Father's heart, there's all kinds of information out there that tells us what the Father's heart's like. If you Google the Son, Jesus, the Son's heart, there's all kinds of information that will come up. This is what the Son's heart is. This is his desire. This is our. If you Google the heart of the Holy Spirit, It doesn't come up talking about his heart. It comes up talking about our heart. I researched and I couldn't find hardly anything about the heart of the Spirit. So how are we supposed to understand who this person, the Holy Spirit, is if we don't even know what his heart is? Well, the Bible says that you will know them, what? By their fruit. You know, it was early on a Sunday morning when that came into my heart. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning. I woke up, and as I was sitting there, I was getting ready, just meditating about the morning service, and I was getting ready, this is a couple weeks ago, and I was getting ready, and I was just talking, and I was just communing with the Holy Spirit. He said, how do you commune with the Holy Spirit the same way I'm communicating with you? Just speak on the inside. I was just talking, and I said, how can I teach them about you? How can I teach them about you? Because it seems like everywhere I look in the Bible, you're involved in it. We would be teaching all the time. How can I teach you about it? And the thought came back to me is, don't teach them about me. Introduce them to me. And then I said, well, how can I introduce them to you when there's not a lot available out there? And the scripture that I just read to you, you will know them by their fruit, rose up on the inside of me. And so that's when I got up. I got up, and that's when I Googled the heart of the Father. That's when I Googled the heart of the Son. And then I Googled the heart of the Holy Spirit, and there was nothing there. So then I read Galatians. I said, it says, therefore, by their fruit you'll know them. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. The fruit of the Spirit. It's interesting. I shared this on Facebook when we were back at Rhema. A book came in the mail that I ordered a couple weeks ago. It came in the mail right before we left, and I was reading this book, and it's from a gentleman, and basically the subject is the Holy Spirit, and I came across his ministry one day when I was at the Y working out, and I came across the video, and so I sent off for this book, and I got this book, and as I was reading this book, almost exactly what the Holy Spirit said to me that morning at 4 in the morning, he spoke to him. He said, how will we know you? How can we know you? And the Spirit said, you'll know me by my fruit. Now, it doesn't say fruit by the Spirit, does it? What does it say? Fruit of the Spirit. See, it's different if it's by someone. You can make a painting, and that's by the artist. You can make a drawing, and that's by the artist. But if you say, it's by me or it's of me, that's two different things. There's only a couple things in this world that are of me. Elijah, destiny, and now we got a grandbaby. That means that they're part of me. They're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Fruit of the Spirit, not fruit by the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to just produce a byproduct in you. He wants to produce him in you. He is love. He is joy. He is peace. He is kindness. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, so number 2 on your handout this morning, it was filled in 2, wasn't it? The heart of the Holy Spirit is revealed to us by his fruit. That's all been reviewed. So let's get into something new this morning. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Talking about David here, and when he had removed him, talking about Saul, the prophet removed Saul. He said that you no longer will you sit on the throne. And when he had removed him, he raised them up, David, to be king. To whom giving testimony, talking about God here, to whom giving testimony, he said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who shall do all my will, is a man after my own heart. Now, I could have asked you earlier, who's someone in the Bible that was after the heart of God, that was after his own heart? A lot of you would have just immediately wanted to tell me, it was David, King David. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. We see that scripture that Luke is making reference to when he wrote the book of Acts. We see that scripture that actually Paul spoke about in the book of Acts and recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. He says, the prophet says, but now your kingdom will not last, to Saul. It says, the Lord has sought for a man after his own heart. The Lord has appointed him as ruler of his people because you did not follow the command of the Lord. The Lord has sought for a man after his own heart. This was David. Does anybody remember when the prophet came to anoint David, Jesse, the father of all these sons, all these brothers, he brought the eldest son to him. And the prophet said in himself, he said, certainly, just by the looks, certainly this is the one that the Lord has chosen. And the Spirit told the prophet, no, I've not chosen him. And he went through all of Jesse's sons. And they basically said, there's nobody else. And he says, there's nobody else. And they said, well, the youngest one, he's out watching the sheep. Bring him. We're not going to rest. We're not going to wait until you bring him. And he brought him. And that was the one that God had chosen. And what does the Bible say? God said, he says, God doesn't look at the outward. God looks at what? Inward, the heart. David had a heart that was after God's own heart. Now, here's the thing, church. David was far from perfect. David was far from perfect. We know what David did. David was unfaithful. David had a child with a woman that wasn't his. And then David, to cover all that, David had the husband of the wife killed in battle. He orchestrated his death. Told the armies to put him at the front line. And that when the battle got hot, for them all to pull back. How could he be someone that God sought out and say that he was a man after my own heart? Well, here's the thing. Trey mentioned it earlier. I believe that God wants to look us and see us through the things of life, not necessarily look through us. Because there's not a single one of us in here this morning that could sit on this side and say, David, I don't understand. Come on, right? Because the Bible says all of us have what? We've all sinned. Number three on your handout, just like David, we have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to be known as someone after the heart of God. We have the opportunity to be known as someone after God's own heart. What do you want to be known for? What legacy do you want to leave? And what legacy, not just leave, but what legacy do you want to live? What do you want to be known for? David was known for being a man after his own heart. He was known also for all the things that he'd done wrong. But God said, I've sought for a man, and I found one in David that will do everything according to what I will. In Psalms chapter 27, verse 4, let's go on to number 4 this morning. And I want you to see something that David said. He actually wrote. Psalms 27 is one of the psalms that David penned, that he wrote. And I want you to see here in verse 4, it says, one thing, David said, one thing I have desired of the Lord. One thing. When you do a study in the Hebrew on that word one thing, it means it's single. What David is saying here, this is the one thing. This is the one thing. One thing that I desired from the Lord. It's the top thing. It's my number one desire. It's my number one request. Some translations say this. I've asked one thing of the Lord. One thing, my top request. I will seek after this that I may dwell. This is my one desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Number 4, David desired. He was a man after God's own heart. We have the opportunity to be known the same. David desired one thing of the Lord. He desired one thing. In number 5, David desired to dwell in the presence of the Lord and to behold the beauty of the Lord is what it said. He said, I desire one thing. There's one request I have. That is to dwell in your presence every day and to behold your beauty. Now, get a hold of this. When it says that he wanted to dwell in his presence, it wasn't that he wanted to dwell in his temple, that he just wanted to be able to go to the temple and live in the temple every day, to be there all the time. No, what David is saying is, he's saying, I've experienced God's presence. I've experienced his presence when he was there with me with the lion, and he was there with me with the bear, and he was there with me with Goliath. I've experienced his presence, and my one desire, is that his presence be with me all the time. And that I may behold the beauty of his presence. I'm telling you this morning, God desires to fill you with his fullness. He wants you to experience his goodness. He wants you to literally, tangibly experience his love. It is so powerful when you experience the presence and the love of God. Such an incredible thing. I've had people tell me, it's like, man, service was so amazing. Worship was so amazing. God was just moving upon my heart. I saw people responding and God moving. I'm telling you what, when those things are happening, when someone's overwhelmed with God's presence, it's like the icing on the cake. I don't know how to explain it. It's the icing on the cake. It doesn't happen all the time. I don't get up every Monday morning and be like, wow. It's amazing. There's days that you walk by faith, but there's times where God just shows up and you're like, man, God, your love is so real. Your love is so real. And it reaches so deep down inside. His presence reaches so deep down inside. It can heal broken hearts and hurts. And you find tears coming down your cheeks because of his goodness. David said, one desire I have desired. That's to dwell in your presence and to behold, experience your beauty. Number six, I want you to see this. We read 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. But I want you to see something here. It says, but now your kingdom will not last, talking to Saul. But notice what it says here. The Lord has sought for a man after his own heart. The Lord has sought for a man. You know, the Bible says that in order for us to worship God, we must worship him in spirit and truth. And what does it say? It says that he is seeking those who will worship him. It says he sought for man. So David's one desire was to dwell in God's presence. But notice here in John chapter 17, verse 24, Jesus said, Father, he's talking to the Father here. It's the longest recorded prayer that is in the Bible concerning Jesus talking to the Father. And he says, Father, those whom thou hast given me, I desire that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see the glory, my gift from thee, which thou hast given me because thou didst love me before the creation of the world. Jesus said, my desire, Father, my desire is that those who you gave to me may be with me. I want to be with them. I want to be in their presence. And I want them to be in my presence. I want them to experience and see my glory that you've given me. That love that you've had for me since the foundation of the world. John 14, verse 23, Jesus answered, when the gentleman said, he said, how will you basically reveal yourself to us, but the world won't know you? And Jesus' answer was, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we, who's he talking about here? He said, the Father will love him, and we will what? We will come to him and make our home with him. Number six, God desires, not talking about what David desired now, but God desires for his fullness to dwell in your presence. Just like David said, my one desire is to be in your presence. Jesus said, Father, my desire is that they would be, and I would be in their presence. Isn't it interesting that God is seeking those who are after his heart, and those who are after his heart are seeking God? I love the story of the prodigal son. It gives us incredible hope. Because when we stray off the path and we go off and do something wrong and we blow it, we can blow it major just like he did. But when we come to ourselves and we say, you know what? I just need to get back to the presence of my Father. I just need to get back to my Father's house. And we make that step, we make that journey. As soon as the Father sees us coming, the Bible says that the Father ran out to meet the Son. It's incredible that the Creator of the universe, that his desire matches David's desire. David's desire was that I will be in your presence all the time, that I will dwell in your temple, your presence every day, that I might behold and see and experience your beauty. And God's desire is the same. His desire is to be in our life. His desire is to fill us with his presence. His desire is for us to live on full and not on empty. See, living on full doesn't mean that we don't have everything out here is perfect. No, it's not living on easy street. Living on full, you need to live on full when it's not easy street. When the battle's rough and tough, you need to have that greater one on the inside of you strengthening you to go through what you're going through. But what I've seen in Paul's life is that a thinking has to change in my mindset. I've got to get out of that mindset where everything's always, and I'm not saying anything negative. I'm just saying this is a mindset we have. A lot of times people come to church on Sunday morning, and how do we start it off? We start it off by the fact that everybody just came in empty. We say, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter how difficult this past week's been. It doesn't matter. We're always coming from the mindset in the place of living in defeat. When the Bible says, his victory is mine. And so I want to be like the Apostle Paul. Where the Apostle Paul said this, he said, it doesn't really matter what's going on around the outside of me. I've learned to live content. I've learned to live content. I've learned how to live with nothing. And I've learned how to live with everything. And you know what Paul's secret was? Paul said, this is my secret, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what he's saying is, whether I have nothing or I have everything, I have his fullness on the inside of me, and what's going on out here doesn't really matter, because I can do everything through his Spirit that lives on the inside of me. God's desire, number six, for God desires for his fullness to dwell in your presence. Two more, we're going to wrap up. Number seven, David said, one thing I desire, the Lord, that will I seek after. Here's the truth. I want to give you a couple of truths this morning in closing. What you desire, you seek after. That's the truth. In fact, if you say, I don't know what I desire, what are you always doing? What are you seeking after? See, a lot of people. I mean, you'll hear things, and I'm not stepping on anybody's toes or anything like this morning. But you'll talk to people and say, "Man, Pastor, Sunday morning is the only time that I don't have anything going on, and I'm just so busy, and we were going here and going there, and yesterday we had to do this, we had to do that, and we had to drive 4 hours for this, and we had to drive 4 hours for this game and 4 hours for that game, and then we had to go from one side of the city to another side of the city, and man, we just had to stay in this morning and rest." But if you were probably tired Saturday morning when you got up, but you still got up and you still went and sought all those things that you desire. Come on, can you say amen? We heard a truth this past week. I just want to share this. We heard from Denise Hagen. She said this. She said that the parents are looking to the school system. The parents are looking to the church to educate their kids. And from the church standpoint, the parents are looking to the church, and I'm not saying this a bad way, looking to the church to instill in them and do all these things and to accomplish all these things and to get God in them. And what they're finding out is this Generation Z. It's not Generation, the millennials is Generation Z. Now, what they're finding out is that they can grow up in church, and when they get out and they go to college, that over 50 to 70% of them will leave their faith. Now, here's a statistic, a national statistic, that the church, on average, per young kid growing up, on average, per year, only gets to pour in, on average, to that student, how many hours do you think? 40 hours. The average is 40 hours per year. That child will be in a setting where the church can pour into them. That's 1 week's work. So we have to rise to the task. We have to use other opportunities. We have to find out what they're passionate about. That's what's so powerful about basketball in my life, is what brought me to the Lord. I was passionate about it. Well, was I seeking God when I went to FCA? Let me tell you all, I was not seeking God when I went to FCA. I was seeking some basketball time. But in the process of that, a gentleman by the name of Tom Holbrook, Coach Holbrook, changed my life. What you desire, the truth is, what you desire, you seek after. So if you want to figure out what you desire, you know, say, well, I desire this. Man, God, I really desire this. All you have to do is look at what you're always going after. Number 8, in closing, I want to ask you a question. Again, David said, one thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek. Psalms 42, verse 1 says, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. Number 8, what is your one desire of the Lord? What is your one desire of the Lord? I encourage you to think about that. Meditate on it. You say, I'm not sure what my one desire is. I'm not sure. In John 7, verse 37, I want to read you this and we'll close with this scripture. He said, on the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You know, the day that Peter preached the first message, the very first day of the church, that very first service, if you want to call it that, I give you the scripture there in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 that Peter wrapped up with. After he got done speaking and he got done sharing that with thousands of people that were listening that day, the temple, as he got done sharing that information and talking about all the things that he talked about, it says their hearts were touched to the core. And they cried out, what must we do? What must we do to have what you're talking about? What must we do to have what you've just been explaining to us? What must we do to have that fullness, that presence, that love on the inside of us? Do we have to live right? Do we have to cross over T's, dot over I's? Do we have to be better at righteousness? Do we have to do this and do that? No, there's nothing that you can do to earn this. It's a gift. What Peter said in verse 38, he says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. That word repent, it's so misunderstood. We want to make it an outward show, an outward expression. We want people to be just outwardly torn and crying and weeping. The word repent just simply means to turn. It means I'm going this way, and I repent, I turn, and I go this way. What Peter's saying is what you need to do is you need to turn and turn to God. You need to receive the gift that he's given you. He said, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then what we've been talking about, living life full. Then his presence. See, David said, I want your presence. And God said, I want you to have my presence. Stand up with this morning as we close. I appreciate your attentiveness. What is your one desire? What is your one desire? Just close your eyes this morning in a word of prayer as you close. No one looking around. I want to give an invitation.